SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour 2 of The Money Line with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside starts now on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, back at it in the 2 o'clock hour. Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh. Moneyline, SiriusXM channel 159. As we said, more than happy for you good people out there driving around, listening on apps, ready to get involved in the show. It's 844-843-6879. That I still have to write that number down, even though I've said this repeatedly, week after week after week. But every time I need to say that number, my eyes glance at the page that still says Ben Stevens and the Morning After. So that's my go. Even though I don't need that page, it's like a little binky or like one of those little blankets that you carry around when you're 6 years old and you don't need it anymore. Seems like I still need that. But getting involved in the process, Carl from New Jersey joining us on the line here on a Tuesday, maybe to welcome back in K-Dub after taking a few weeks off. What's good, Carl?
It's been forever. What's up, guys? What did you guys hit up Margarita Monday at TGI Fridays yesterday? What happened?
We might as well have.
It was a nice day out. I figured you guys took the day off.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a special announcement today. What are the chances I can get the Donnie Wrightside breaking news drop?
Can Christian do this? Do you have the drop behind the scenes that might be labeled breaking news? I'm not sure Christian does have this. No, he's going to look for it for us. That's especially here. Yeah, so, okay, hold on. Breaking news. There you go. What do you got?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Awesome. So guess what, guys? As of today, Carl from Central Jersey is officially on Twitter. Come check me out at Carl from Jersey. I'm live. I'm there looking for followers. Hook me up. I'm looking to put my picks up there daily so I can keep track.
Let me go over here. Let me click on Carl from Central Jersey, which is at Carl from Jersey. And I am going to
for
the people. Bang, there you go.
You
just got see, there we go.
Perfect.
I mean, that is tremendous, by the way, that drop. I don't know how that even was done, but kudos to JP for picking that up. So there you go, Carl. You got a follower from DRS.
Wow.
What else you got for us today?
Making my day.
That's worth
gold. So I got an MLB play for today. We're going with the L.A. Dodgers in Chicago tonight, -1.5, +130 on DK. Kopech coming back to earth after that last start versus Toronto. Give me the Dodgers tonight with the plus money to cover those two runs.
All right.
That's a fun series, too, Dodgers, White Sox. We thought it would be a little bit more hyped at this point once you were seeing that on the schedule coming into the season. But the fact that the Dodgers are still a favorite on the road in Chicago, I don't care who's on the mound or not, shows how talented they are. But that's a good series tonight, Kev. You know, Kopech, we expect a lot out of him here. White, that guy trying to get you through the rotation. Pretty interesting matchup here, interleague here in June.
Yeah, and I think to Carl's point, though, right? If you're line reading a little bit there, I know the Dodgers are rarely dogs, but in Chicago, Kopech going up against White, Carl, it's a line that does catch the eye a little bit there. The rare moment where you might be saying, "Am I getting a cheap price on the Dodgers?" I thought Carl was still there.
Nope, there you go. See that? It's a hypothetical question you just asked.
I got a bonus play today, guys, by the way.
Oh, no, there it is.
Come hit me up on my Twitter site. I got it posted up on the site, so come check me out over at Carl from Jersey on Twitter. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a good night.
There he is. And I do like the fact that Carl just did my best imitation right there. Question was asked, not even listening to the question, bang, right back with what his thoughts would be.
Oh, that's too good. I love that. Well, Donnie was focused on plugging the product there.
That's true. That is true.
Which I got to
thousands of followers he probably just gained here nationally. Now, also, you know what we're waiting for 2K double in this show?
Tell me.
Like, we get a lot of East Coast callers. Where's the West? Like, you just went out and represented the West Coast,
true.
Right? You made your rally. And I'm going to assume you had your Sports Grid, you know, black collared shirt, which you have seven of them, that you wore every single day just in rotation just to get word out there. You're at the AEW. You're at L.A. Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Grid's out there. The Sports Grid's here. I'm pretty sure you did that. So I expect much more West Coast, let's just say, accompanying here on the show. What do you say, West Coast?
No,
where are you at? Yeah,
it's a good point by you. As everyone knows, I like a cartoon character. All I wear is that Sports Grid, polo.
Yeah.
I have almost nothing else in the closet. So
I mean, is it too much to ask for like a green one or a blue one? I mean, was it too much? Did we ask for too much?
Yeah, listen, Donnie, Lord forbid they found their way into a red polo. It would have been a real nightmare, or a white one even, I guess. Would have really ran the bill up at all of a sudden there, perhaps. But nevertheless, it is. It would be nice to hear from some of the West Coast listeners because we know they're out there. Although, I don't know if we've got West Coast double ups. Don, the thing is, you know, a lot of the West Coast people might be watching the early line replay. I can't rule
That's true. That's true. That's true.
Because
maybe they miss us
against ourselves
at night.
Here.
We weren't taking calls at night, were we? Did we ever take calls at night every once in a while?
I don't really think it was set up.
Yeah.
We tried, and then we kind of stopped trying.
Oh, did we?
Also, remember JP told us the phone lines were
We were hacked.
They were hacked all over the place.
That is pretty good, man. Hey, JP, hack these lines right now. Open them back up, pal. That's the way it is here. We got Major League Baseball to talk about. What you're going to do after the break? Adone is on the mound. Listen up as we attack.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back in on Moneyline, Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh right here on the grid, Major League Baseball for full card. Now, what do you want to do here? You want to go Major League Baseball full card? You want to talk a little NBA, end the show with Major League Baseball as we can hit the card? What do we spin it around? What do we say?
It's a good, I do have three strikeout props that I've bet today. They are all 3.5.
Okay.
And I want to give him here on radio.
Yes.
I want to give the radio people deserve that before I tweet them out.
Okay.
So you tell me, do you want to get into bets now? Would you rather still do a little NBA stuff here? What do you want to do?
I think it's easier to talk topics because once you start getting into the nuts and bolts of games, you sort of stay with that, right? It's like, hey, Kev, I'm going to give you a baseball play. What do you think about Steph Curry winning an MVP? It sort of doesn't flow. Like, you have to have that even flow. And since we're not in pick mode just yet, going with topics, we probably should stay with some topics, then we'll save those last two segments here on the show to dip into Major League Baseball because it's a full card and there are some interesting spots here. But as we start to set the table here for Game 3 in the Boston Garden, or TD Garden, whatever you want to call it now, Wednesday at 9 o'clock, East Coast game. For some reason, we're starting at 9 o'clock, which means like 9:12, which is absolutely astoundingly ridiculous. 212.5 is the total. 3.5. It's almost like these are carbon copy lines. Like, let's start these lines at 3.5 and 212.5 and see where they end up going here.
Yeah.
Now, as I've said this morning when we talked about it, I mean, obviously, every game is pivotal, right? Nobody wants to ever lose a game. But losing game one hurts. You try to even up as best you can, which the Golden State Warriors did. I don't think the Warriors can afford to go down 2-1. I just don't think so. I don't think you can lose Game 3 in Boston and then just say, well, we've won championships before. Let's rescue ourselves once again when we're down in the series. I don't think they can come away with it. I don't. I think the Warriors must win Game 3 here if they want to win this NBA Finals.
So this is really fun because we talked about this only briefly on the early line. We get a chance to maybe flesh it out a little bit more here on radio. So I have this right. You think Boston has a better chance to come back from 2-1 than Golden State?
Yes, correct.
Man, that surprises me. It does. I'll tell you this, Donnie. I think a lot of people will be betting Golden State in Game 4 if Boston takes Game 3. Do you disagree? I think Golden State will be the popular side.
I don't disagree.
In game number four. But maybe you disagree that they'd actually win the game.
Yes, correct. Because I think it's the same thing where you're saying to yourself, okay, Boston won game one. Outside of the contrarians, where was that money going in game two? You know it was going on Golden State. Figuring because 100%. They can't go down 0-2. And they won and they played well. Kudos to them. But I just look at it differently now because it would be different for me if this was 1-1 and Golden State was going back to Golden State. And I said, okay, Boston won game three at Golden State. I would have the same feeling. Okay, well, I think Golden State's going to take this next game at home and go 2-2 back to Boston and try to even it up. But I just look at the role reversal, saying, all right, Boston at home goes up 2-1. Now the pitchforks are coming out in game four. Like, Boston's really amped up. Like, we can take this series tonight if we beat them on our home court. And from a basketball perspective, I think Golden State can win that game. Well, of course they're not going to be. If I didn't think they can win, how the heck did they get to the NBA Finals, right, at that point, is what you're saying. But I just think that momentum shift as Golden State can come out and take game three, and they'll live comfortably for the rest of the way. All right, if we win game four, fantastic. If not, best of three, we got two home games, we'll win this. And I do think they would, but I just feel that the Golden State Warriors have to win game three because that pressure is going to be outrageous in the Garden, knowing Golden State has to win that game, and they won't be favored to win it.
Which, see, and that is the truth, right? Is at least Boston, no matter what, will be, unless there's big injury, will be favored in game four.
Correct.
But for me, again, Golden State has the benefit of saying, all right, listen, we're down 3-1, but if this goes seven, two of them are in Golden State. All we got to, you know what I mean? Like, there's aspects of it where I think that team can have some confidence in themselves there. Whereas, as somebody that's picked Boston to win this series, Donnie, if they lose game number three, one of two things now are going to need to happen for them to win the series. Either they beat the Golden State Warriors three games in a row, or they have to win game seven in Golden State. I don't love either one of those things as somebody that's picked the Celtics to win this series. One thing I really won't feel good about is, you know, it was unfortunate because you and I didn't get to talk before game seven, Miami-Boston. But I think you told me that you thought Boston was going to win game seven. Am I right about that? Against Miami?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I, despite picking Boston to win this series, I'm not so sure I'm going to like them to win a game seven if it's in Golden State. You know what I mean? Like, that's just a lot to ask a team to do on the road. It's just the younger team. I just, that will be a tough mountain for me to climb. I think Boston has to have game three. Because, again, if you don't win game three, to me, season 100% is on the line game number four. It's a concerning spot to be in.
Yeah, it's a good one. And it's a shame that it's not tonight because, like, all right, let me settle in to watch this. But I guess we get a nice little topic that we could talk about for two shows tomorrow. As you're right. Like, you're talking about one singular game over a three-day period, which is kind of insane when you talk about it, including some weekend games that you have. Now, series final MVP. And we already talked about the Golden State Warriors minus 115. That hasn't changed to win this series. Steph Curry now. A minus 115 as well. So that number has moved slightly to get in line with saying, all right, Curry's been the best player through two games. If they win it, he's going to win it. Now, Jason Tatum hasn't been wonderful through two games so far. Could it be that Steph Curry at that minus 115 price is solid all the way through? So let's just say Tatum isn't on it all the time, and let's just say Jaylen Brown isn't on it, and quite frankly, Al Horford's, 14-1, disappears into a 65-1 after a two-point shot. What's that? Hey, man, Al Horford can really – he can steal the series. Remember Andre Iguodala? He's not doing that. Obviously, he's not going to do that now at a 65-1 price. But the fact of the matter is Steph Curry by far and away is probably the finals MVP at this point. Now, there's still a long way to go, so I'm asking you here, is it just worth it to take Steph Curry at the minus 115, figuring that there is a way outside chance that even if they lose, he could still be the MVP?
I can't possibly imagine a world where Steph... Now, Steph has been markedly better than everybody else. Steph's basically the only person that's played two good games so far in this series, is almost what it comes down to at this point in time. But I just don't see a scenario, Donnie, where Steph is so much better than everybody else that they lose the series. Where there, it's the, it would be Like, Don, if it was minus 115 Golden State, minus 110 Steph, I'd say, you know what, let's save the 5 cents. They're the exact same price. You know what? But if by some miracle, Donnie, Steph gets hurt and they figure out how to win the series, like, I'd rather be dealing in that space. Like, I almost think it's more realistic that Steph gets hurt and they figure out how to win the series by Jordan Poole going insane or something than Steph winning this in a losing effort. I don't see how that happens. Do you see a world? Because forget what the voters will do. How is Steph going to be so much better than everybody else and they lose the series?
That it's tough to try to figure that out, right? It's almost like, because they're not a one-man band where you say, like, well, LeBron James scored 45 every single game and they still lost.
Exactly.
But what did you want him to do? Like, he had to. Nobody else could even compete. Exactly. So if you're figuring if Steph Curry is going off, everybody else around him is still going to chip in to help him. So therefore, they should win the series. Because it comes up, Steph Curry's series points average is 30.5. At the FanDuel Sportsbook. So I look at that to myself and say, well, Steph Curry averages 30.5. Somebody's got to be helping him out on the opposite side, right? My goodness.
A lot for us to get into, though, too. Also, because that Steph Curry points prop, when we get to Boston, I am so fascinated by. Risky business on an under, but I'm interested.
Ah, let's get right back and talk a little NBA right here on the grid after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Donnie and Kevin here on a Tuesday afternoon edition of Moneyline on the Grid. Some NFL notes to tackle before we get back here to Game 3 of the NBA Finals between the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. Colts linebacker Darius Leonard will have back surgery. The plan is for him to be back for training camp. So obviously when you hear that, training camp's going to start in about a month and a half. Never a good thing for an NFL player to be talking about back injuries. And news number two, I guess we could say here, Seahawks star wide receiver DK Metcalf is not present for mandatory minicamp as contract talks have not yet resulted in a new deal. He continues to rehab his injury in L.A. By the way, what is his injury?
What's his injury? Yeah, I could be anything. Like, could be anything there, right? That doesn't that almost sound kind of like a tack on to be like, just in case there's not a problem here. It's like, he was just rehabbing. Like, we told him he could. Nothing to see.
You can't find me because I technically can't be here. And this was a doctor cleared by you in the offseason. And I'm just going to stay with that guy, it feels like.
I don't know if this was, you know, Field Yates's intention. But he was the tweet that I remember. But, like, I think he should quote tweet this thing and just be like, huh? Donnie, he sent out a list of like 6 wide receivers that are going to basically demand to be paid. And it's every single one of them but Hunter Renfrow. It's Deontay Johnson, Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, and the 6th was Hunter Renfrow. Donnie, literally 5 of the 6 have demanded to be paid, not shown up to something, been traded, whatever it might be, and then Hunter Renfrow.
Yes.
Just whatever. Just whatever Hunter Renfrow. Incredibly, if I had to be like, hey, who here should be most concerned? The answer might genuinely be Hunter Renfrow, he played half of his games without Darren Waller last year with help. And then now Davante Adams is there. Like, Hunter Renfrow, in terms of what he brought to the table, is about to be cut down so significantly that he's kind of missing the mark there, but boy, it is one of those situations where all these guys are looking to be paid. And I guess, though, are the guys, Donnie, now that are looking to be paid, it's just they're going to be paid at some point? Or do we need to heat up DK Metcalf trade rumors again?
I don't understand. Like, here's the point with Seattle, and I know you need good football players, and it makes a lot of sense here. But from a DK Metcalf perspective, it's not even the opposite. Like, let's just say roles reversed here. You were the Seattle Seahawks. The missing piece was a quarterback. And you traded, and you got Russell Wilson. So DK Metcalf would say, all right, I really wanted to be paid, but at the end of this year, I'm going to put up such crazy statistics that you're going to be foolish not to pay me right now here on the spot. So now you're looking at DK Metcalf in a position to cash in just like every other wide receiver has done. And him and his agent are saying, hey, we can roll the dice, but stats matter out here. And you're going to have either Drew Lock as your quarterback or Geno Smith. You're not looking at, hey, I might get 113 catches for 1,600 yards and 15 touchdowns. It's not your fault that you might end up with 81 catches and devalue your situation. So for me, Seattle put themselves in this position by saying, okay, we're going to trade our quarterback away, but in order to do that, we're really going to have to pay our wide receiver to keep him happy if he wants to stay here.
I just don't understand that team. I do not understand what the Seattle Seahawks want to be in this year. I really think the answer is they think and want to be good, and we just all disagree. Like, truthfully, I don't understand it. Like, Tony, are they making moves that say they're tanking? Like, I know they traded Russell Wilson, but, like, how is Tyler Lockett still on that roster? Like, paying Metcalf is one. How is Tyler Lockett on that roster?
It's a good point you bring up, because you can't halfway do a teardown of your football team. So you would say to yourself, okay, what's a halfway teardown? Well, let's go from a really good quarterback to, and Trey Lance always comes up, right, for a decent football team. When you go through a quarterback transition to a younger guy, you're putting a lot of leap of faith on that younger guy is going to perform. The reason I bring up him is because if you look at Seattle, they didn't say, well, man, you know what? We really lucked out. We took this quarterback in the fourth round. Watch him for 2 years. He is really legit, and we're going to lose him in 2 years where maybe we can cash in on Russell Wilson, I don't know, getting older, getting multiple draft picks, and we can stock a run-up for this guy that we think we stole in the NFL draft a few years ago. They don't have that. They're basically saying career backup versus an absolute bust so far at quarterback in the NFL. But we're going to hang our hats on that and tell you, in a division that has Arizona, the Rams, and also the 49ers, we're going to compete? It just doesn't make any sense for what Seattle's actually doing.
Here is the biggest issue for the Seattle Seahawks, Donnie. If I made you rank the 10 best head coaches in the NFL, mm-hmm. Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan land in your top five.
Yeah.
And Kingsbury might land in your top 10.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are under 45. What I mean, how old is Shanahan's the oldest, right? At probably like 42. I'm rough estimating there. Like,
mm-hmm.
You have a division. Then again, if you believe in Kingsbury and McVay doesn't retire to go work for Amazon in 2 years. Like, the foundation blocks of those head coaches are there for decade plus. Decade plus, you have the oldest coach in the NFL. So, it's just, you're going to have turnover at some point in a major way. I really think, and I don't know if Pete Carroll is oblivious or does not care, they are setting Pete Carroll up to be the fall man. And next year is the real full tear down for Seattle. And they're going to be a very ugly 4-13.
Yeah, Air Monarchs or whatever he wears there on the sidelines. Certainly one of those. I'm quite frankly surprised that Pete Carroll is still the head coach. Because didn't we think this was going to be the perfect time? Shift over the franchise, maybe a new general manager, maybe a new head coach, ushering in a new era here, because you know, had a good run, Pete Carroll, up there. You should have won at least one more Super Bowl at this point, but just making smart decisions as like handing the football off and winning a Super Bowl, but you wanted to be stupid and throw the football when everybody knew. Trust me, on that last play on the goal line where you go up where it's the Seattle versus New England, if New England knows, and they should have known, that Marshawn Lynch was going to get the ball on the inch-yard line, who's stopping him? I don't care if the linebacker jumps the snap count, fills the line, beats the guard in the center, and goes right in that A gap and says, you're not going to go anywhere. He runs you right over into the end zone. Deal with it. I still can't believe it. And I lost money on that game, which is still fresh in my mind. I'm not a Seattle Seahawks fan.
Yeah.
But when something gets taken from, like, all right, Marshawn Lynch coronation moment here. And also, let's not forget, and that's who I love, that the fact that we could just bring up random games in Super Bowls from years past, where Bill Belichick was on the sideline. He knew he lost. Don't give me this, oh, he was so smart not to call that timeout because that jumbled everything up for the Seattle Seahawks. No, Bill Belichick with, you know, Patricia staring at him on the sideline. Coach, you're going to call a timeout? They're going to score a touchdown. Like, we need at least 30 seconds with the football. And he sat there on the sideline going, we lost. What's the point of calling a timeout right now? Only to be rescued. Crazy town.
I saw a tweet today around Bill's record without Brady. And then his record against teams above 500 without Brady.
Yeah.
It is ugly. Like, I actually didn't think when Tom left that either one of them were going to win or lose the who is the guy that deserves the credit debate that had obviously been ongoing forever. I really think Belichick has lost that debate. But I have to, and by the way, there are people who still defend that decision to throw the football. Oh, the play wasn't bad. It was enough. I've never seen a play like that where people all of a sudden had to believe a league was fixed because of that. Let me just throw two things at you quickly, Donnie. The Seattle team total, win total, 5.5 plus money under. That is enticing, to say the least. But there is a market on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and I have to bring this up because I think we have enough time with the amount of time left here. 10 plus wins. The Rams are -220. You know, has the same price to win 10 plus games as the Los Angeles Rams, Donnie.
Who?
The Cleveland Browns. The Rams win total. Donnie, the Rams win total is 10.5. So basically, that means to me that the Browns would be 10.5. Hang that thing. Who is not bet? Donnie, they hang that 10.5. They'd be lucky to get one over bet. They'd be lucky to get one over bet on the Cleveland Browns, man.
Tough division, Jacoby Brissett.
Donnie, did he not come out that his attorney basically is like, yeah, we're expecting a decision we won't like?
It's coming soon, too. This is one of those things where we talk about money line, like things pop up, because this isn't one of those releases where the NFL is going to come out at 8:30 at night. This feels like one of those 11 a.m. send this thing out here for the press to devour press conference at 4 o'clock today, and I can't wait for that, because But the NFL can't win this because, obviously, they don't really want to suspend the star player, regardless of what happens, because it's money and franchises have a lot of money tied up in those players. But the NFL can't be like, hey, by the way, 3-game suspension for the show. Like, it's such a bad look. And the fact of the matter is, I know the NFL sits back and says, Major League Baseball, you had a player that was a 3-year, $100-plus million-a-year guy that you sent packing for basically 2 full years. You know the first thing that happens, if there's not an amazing amount of time on the suspension, hey, baseball's just tougher. Baseball just really cares about women more than the NFL, and they know that's coming down. This is why we haven't had any answers in weeks on this, which hopefully we get one here. Major League Baseball, you're on deck. Right here on the grid. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As a famous rapper once said, Kevin, Major League, I'm catching because he's pitching or whatever. Does that get that right?
No, you're all over. Opposite. You lost your confidence like halfway through.
Yeah.
I think you were good.
I think I had it right. And then I was like, you know what? As I'm saying, I don't know if I have this right. Who catching because I'm pitching?
Pitching.
There we go.
I think you're bang on the money right there.
Yeah, so I reversed it on that, but it's time to get some Major League Baseball. But at this time, we were expecting to have a game start at like 3:11. It's now been pushed back to 4:31 between the Rangers and the Guardians, who got canceled yesterday. I believe this is a doubleheader today, too? Yes, it is. So not a happy daylight doubleheader here, as that might be a longer night in Cleveland here for the Rangers and the Guardians, but I didn't have that game handicapped, didn't really care too much about that. I do have a focused opinion on the Washington Nationals and the Miami Marlins. Cabrera on the mound, don't really care about that. He's a minus 180 favorite. Just about everybody's going to be a minus 180 favorite at home against the Washington Nationals. Adonis on the mound today at a plus 152. Just one of those guys that gives it up, K-Dub, right? When you try to say to yourself, and sometimes I do this, and quite frankly, it works out way more times than it doesn't. Under what I like to look at, I fade no matter what, Kevin, the worst pitcher that I have on the slate. So if I have 26 pitchers rated on the card today between these games with pitchers of at least 20 innings pitched in 2022, he's the worst. A 132 xFIP minus, an ERA close to 6, a FIP of 5.25, an xFIP of 5.28, and a Sierra of 5.24, which is the worst on the card. So they all correlate. You know how many times we talk about, like, Cole Irvin for Oakland, right? 2.96 ERA. This guy stinks. Well, he's got a 4.39 and a 4.58 Sierra, which is rising. So they say they're going to catch up to him sooner than later. You look at Adone. He's been caught up to. Like, everything makes sense here, right? Like, high ERA, high xFIP, high Sierra, high xFIP minus. And even though we're in a pitcher's ballpark, I still went ahead and took the Marlins. How about this? This is a good sign, too, Kevin. The Marlins are a 4.5. Like, oh, that's got to be like plus 115, wow, right? No, they're a minus 115 at 4.5 in Florida, like in that big ballpark. As you talked about before, maybe we're starting to see some of those signs of life with the totals. This is one. I know it's the Nationals with a bad pitcher, but the Rockies are stone cold 3.5 team totals for the majority of this year. Now they're a legitimate 4.5 today, and I still like them.
And here's kind of the odd thing about this is going to sound almost like we're contradicting, or you would almost think that Donnie's breakdown is about to scare me, but it doesn't, because I got to trust kind of what I do here. I think so. I've got 3 strikeout props. My favorite is Adon over 3.5. So, look, here's the projection deal, okay? A 4.68 on number fire and a 4.28 on fan graphs. So, again, I would expect a 4.5, maybe plus 100, or an unbettable 3.5, like those minus 170 threes you'll see occasionally. 3.5 minus 118, it's now minus 120. That is very, very manageable. Now, I heard Donnie's breakdown of Adon, and I initially was like, oh, man, this guy, what if this guy only makes it, you know, through an inning of work? Adon has thrown 84-plus pitches in 10 of his 11 starts. He's been terrible in almost all of his starts. Basically, the Nationals are awful, and they just leave him out there. The one thing I was worried about when I heard Donnie's breakdown was, what if he doesn't stay out there enough? Donnie's going to feel good about this, and I feel good about it. Donnie, Joe, he's staying out there because the Nationals are not here to ruin their bullpen. They know this guy's bad. They're not going to adjust off of it. And you've also, just to add a little bit of extra juice to this there, Miami is the 7th worst team as it pertains to striking out as a baseball team. There's enough there for me to go over a low number of 3.5 with Adon versus Miami.
Yes, and that's where I was going to back you up at. We're taking a look at the K percentage, which, you know, Adon doesn't have very good numbers overall. He's not one of those guys like a Carlos Rodon's going to strike out 30% of the batters he faces. But longevity gets you through, and in Major League Baseball, guys are swinging for the fences here. So if we look at the estimated lineup tonight for the Miami Marlins, Chisholm, 24% strikeout rate against righties. Cooper, 23%. Soler, 27%. Jesus Aguiar, 21%. Adolis Garcia, who's that? Which Garcia is that? Hold on. Not Adolis. Let me get this number right here. Can I find that? It is Avisail, excuse me, of Brewers fame there. He is 26%. Sanchez, 26%. Stallings, 25%. Like, Rojas is 7.5%. You can't have everybody with terrible ratings. But if you're talking about 7 guys, Kevin, that strike out over 20% of the time,
that's incredible.
You can live with that. You can really live with that.
And one of the things I wasn't expecting when I saw this number was this Miami team to be as bad as they are striking out-wise. There's a lot of times I've found, Donnie, like, They'll want me to bet the over on a St. Louis game going up against the Cardinals, which is like never strike out. You know what? to where you're like, all right, let me be a little cautious here. This is a team that strikes out. You just heard Donnie's numbers. So for me, that's one of the three that I really, really like tonight.
No, it's a pretty good one here. And also, keeping it in the state of Florida, St. Louis Cardinals with Dakota Hudson on the mound versus Jason Springs of the Tampa Bay Rays. If we look at this game, it's a minus 164 price, which you might think is a little bit steep. And I believe Carl, was it Carl or was it X-Man who had the Cardinals
X-Man.
Today?
X-Man
had the Cardinals today. So if we take a look at 138, here's the issue with this game. I'm not going to take a side because I'm not going to lay Tampa Bay at a minus 164 price. But I did take a Tampa team total to the over. Now, if we're looking at rankings here, you got Jeffrey Springs, who's done a really good job. I mean, look at his ERA, a 1.88, but it matches up. A 78 xFIP minus, which is very good. An xFIP is higher at 3.13, but not one of those where you take a look at something that ridiculous. He's got a Sierra of 299. Like, he's really done the job. Now, you take a look at Dakota Hudson, and I know this is one of those points of contention where it's like, when does the faucet turn on for runs? And I'm not saying that the baseballs are juiced now or, you know, summertime heat's coming in, because quite frankly, summertime heat doesn't matter in Tampa Bay since it's a dome. But if you look at Dakota Hudson on the season himself, right, a 120 xFIP minus number here, which is 20% higher than the Major League Baseball average. He has an ERA that's under 3, which is a 2.96. But here's one of those where, okay, maybe you got away with the hitters that aren't caught up yet. Maybe you got away with a lot of fly balls and not striking guys out, because his xFIP is a 4.81, and his Sierra is second to last on this roster up against Adone at a 5.13. So I'm saying to myself, eventually, he's going to get caught up to. Tonight should be one of those nights. And also, I know it's not a great hitting environment. Neither is the Miami Marlins. But sometimes these pitchers are ripe to get hit. And I do think Dakota Hudson does get hit tonight. Now, granted, could the Cardinals still win the game? Yes, because 4 runs cashes this ticket. I need 8 runs where it's like, well, they're going to win and also get their team total. So I went ahead and played the Tampa Bay Rays at a 3.5. Little juicy at a minus 145. But I think they catch up to Dakota Hudson tonight.
Sure. And but here's the thing though about that minus 145, right? That's cheaper than they are the Rays are on the money line, right?
Correct.
I understand you mentioned you know, like, you know, Springs is great and all, but there's people who are laying that money line tonight, number down. I would anticipate on Tampa Bay based on your breakdown, and you know, again, obviously we, you know, you wish the best for X-Men, but that minus 164 doesn't sound that bad when I hear your breakdown. So I think it does make some sense. Look, I'll sneak in. We can kind of go back and forth here. I'll sneak in another one of these strikeout props. You mentioned Cole Irvin. he's an interesting guy here. Cole Irvin has 8 starts this season, Donnie. 6 of them, he has finished with exactly 4 strikeouts. He has never finished with more than 4 strikeouts this year, but I need 4. It's 3.5 at plus 104. The Astros are not a team that strikes out a ton, to be fair. The projection on Fangraphs was a 412, and on NumberFire was a 378. I am being a little bit generous, maybe, on the Irvin number. If you could have got that NumberFire up to a 4, you'd feel a little bit better about it. But it is plus money. And I almost wanted to demonstrate this tonight because the other strikeout prop will be plus money as well, Donnie, of the juice matters. There's nothing else that I really bet like this where I will bet something at 3.5 at a certain juice, and if you change it, and not by a lot. I don't mean I like 3.5 plus 110, but I wouldn't have bet at minus 168. I mean, I like it at plus 110. I don't like it at minus 110. That's how I am with these strikeout props, so I'm going over 3.5 for Cole Irvin as well.
All right, there we go. Cole Irvin going up against the Atlanta Braves. Minus 250 favorites here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. I do think Atlanta might be a decent parlay piece just because, you know, Wright's been good on the mound. That Oakland line, which is a good thing about a K-prop, right? Who cares how bad that lineup is for the Oakland Athletics? And also the good part about it is, as well, is there's no DH in the National League. So he isn't, pinch hit him because we need to get a run. Otherwise, we'll never come back in the fourth inning.
Okay, first of all, I messed up by saying Houston. Actually, Atlanta's the worst strikeout team in baseball, so that was part of the reason I felt confident there on Cole Irvin. But secondly, I'm telling you right now, getting rid of that is the best thing in the world. And you would think as a strikeout player, right, Donnie, betting against NL teams.
You want to get pitchers.
Like, give me the pitcher. It's a free thing. It's not worth having to cringe every time the guy is coming up in the order, hoping that he's actually still in the order. It's not worth it at all. It's an absolute treat to see it gone.
Yeah, people would love that, though. They think it's great to see the, you know, what strategy it would be at this point where you have to pull the pitcher to get an extra batter in there at that point. So a lot of other games here on the docket as well, but also another one a little bit later on tonight, New York Mets and the San Diego Padres. Plus 110 price. I took the New York Mets again here. And I'm not getting the overall more talented pitcher with Taijuan Walker as opposed to Yu Darvish at the top end of their games. But I just see two of these statistics here as negligible on what I like to look at. Yu Darvish over a 4X FIP, Taijuan Walker a 450. But the fact of the matter is, when I take a look at the New York Mets and what they do well, they line up fantastically against right-handed pitching. And tonight is going to be no surprises. So if I look at that lineup for the San Diego Padres, and I say to myself, I have one guy, again, same looks like I was talking yesterday. Luke Voit at a 196 ISO power number. Everybody else stinks. Two guys above the threshold at weighted on base average. Everybody else stinks. And then I flip it over to see the New York Mets.
That's crazy.
Let's see. Yep, look at this. Manny Machado, which actually, he's one of the guys that's at weighted on base percentage is 368. But he has a 153 ISO power number, which I'm just like, come on, man. This guy got out hot. Yeah. How's he like that below? But he's one of only two that has a decent weighted on base percentage. But look at the Mets here. 330, 324, 349, 383, 385, 390, 606. Like only two batters. And Eduardo Escobar is at a 273. A guy coming off a cycle just a few days, you know, it should be yesterday. You know what I mean? So if that guy's going to be in the lineup, that's as hot as you can actually get. I think the Mets' bats will win out today. Not to say there's going to be a total over for them or they're going to go over the total between the two teams, but I just ride them. I see a Mets at a plus 110 price, and I say, you know what? It's probably a close game, late innings. I'll take my chances with plus money.
What a ringing endorsement of the New York Mets, man. Just to be in San Diego off the win. And Don is like, I think the side is where the edge is.
Yeah.
That team is 31-4 when they score four or more runs this season. And they don't have Scherzer and DeGrom.
Yeah.
And they don't have Scherzer and DeGrom. Like, I got to imagine, though, Jacob DeGrom's like, hold on a minute now. These boys can hit and I'm not out there. I'd be 10-0.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he like a part of him.
He comes back, Alonso's hurt, Lindor's hurt. Yeah. It's like, oh, my God. Oh, I missed the good.
Exactly, right? They just keep providing Carlos Carrasco with a gang of run support, though, which is incredible. We got another segment. I'll throw that third strikeout prop when we close out the show.
Plenty of time to get that in. And one quick and final segment here on Moneyline on the Grid before we set you off into the rest of Sports Grid programming. Stick with us here. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Kevin Walsh. It's Moneyline, Sirius XM channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment on Moneyline here in the afternoon on a Tuesday. It's Donnie and Kevin. Who said we couldn't talk golf for an hour? They said it couldn't be done. We said it was just done here. But a nice little action-packed show going over some picks. And, Kevin, I know you have one more K prop that you want to get out there for the people tonight. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we're going to do Chris Flexen tonight. Now, Flexen is actually maybe pushing the extreme. The extreme here. Plus 110. This is DraftKings. Again, the wear is very, very important for that because you want plus 110. Listen, that Fangraphs 3.5 flat, but a nice number on number fire at 4.33. There were a couple of spots, actually, Donnie, where the two projection models that I use were just, I don't want to say way off, but basically, one of them was giving me the uber green light, and the other was like, I don't know about that. Flexen was on a cut line, but at plus 110, I decided it was worth it. This is why I was mentioning Houston before. That is not a team that strikes out a ton. They are not. Flexen has actually seen them already three times, though, this year. But there's some familiarity there. He had actually gone over this, though, with six strikeouts the last time he saw them and pitched fairly well. Giving Flexen a chance at plus money here. Hey, look, I love a Don. If I get a split on Irvin and Flexen, it's a minimal, but it's a profit. I'm ready to go there. Three all over 3.5.
profitable is the goal. And as we end the show, we got an update on Trey Lance, who apparently was the sharpest I've seen him so far this offseason at today's 49er practice. But get this, Kevin. The best play was a completion on the post to tight end Tanner Hudson, who needed to make a sensational one-handed catch because obviously the pass wasn't very good, but that was the quarterback's best play. Propaganda, propaganda, propaganda out of the 49ers. You don't get any propaganda here out of Moneyline with Donnie and Kevin. Thanks for joining us once again on a Tuesday afternoon. As you know, we'll be back tomorrow right here on the grid from 1 to 3. So make sure you join in because tomorrow the NBA returns. Have a good night, fellas. See ya.